Real good. Thank you, Corey LaJoy. Thanks. Who's that? Got Tombstone. I'm blanking. Doc Holliday.
Val Kilmer, yeah.
Yeah, Doc Holliday. I can do this.
Back when he could speak.
Oh, why would you make me so sad so quickly? Just sadness out of the gate.
Because he can't speak anymore.
I know!
His role, his role in...
Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun, it was good, though.
It was good.
And then they killed him off. But, you know.
I mean, you couldn't really bring Iceman back at that point, you know? Like...
He needed an inspiration, so, you know.
Also, is it believable that Iceman was going to become, like, the Secretary of the Navy? Like, you think Iceman off-screen had that much of a character arc? I'm not saying he didn't.
Depends on what administration was in charge.
That's fair. Sometimes you gotta have a Maverick. I mean...
It's some are hawkish, some are not. So, if you had a certain president in charge, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know how Iceman becomes the chief of the second biggest air force in the world.
Do you remember the punk that was in charge of Top Gun? I mean, all those guys were kind of that way. So, I mean...
It's not unfair.
And as far as following rules and things, he was that guy, except for the one time, you know.
Your mouth is writing checks your body can't cash. I had a middle school football coach who liked to say that. He'd say, Tom Grant, he'd say, son, your mouth is writing checks your ass can't cash. To us, you know, seventh graders. However, you took it very seriously. You took it very seriously when Tom Grant dropped that line on you. It was very serious stuff. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. It is wonderful to have you here. Hope that you had a lovely Monday, a wonderful start to the week. You did not if you are a Dallas Cowboys fan. I don't have my board up yet. I'm working on the soundboard. But just imagine that there's a bleep when I say, what a bleep show that was last night.
Was that unexpected? Because that's kind of what I expected to happen, so.
You know, I expected them to lose. I did not expect it to be as absolutely and outrageously hilarious as it was, if we're keeping it a buck. Like, yes, I expected them to lose. What I didn't expect was the outstanding metaphor of the roof literally collapsing in the stadium.
Really glad no one got hurt.
So am I, so that we're clear. Are we going to laugh about it? Yes, because nobody got hit and hurt by it.
Have you seen things like that fall in person?
Sad Jerry's my favorite thing.
Luckily it was something that could float down and not something that would just, you know, fall really fast.
Yes.
I know how gravity works, but still the flat things seem to kind of float down.
Gravity, of course, the curvature of space and time, the fabric in which we exist. Deeper curve created by more mass. The more mass you have, the deeper the curve in space-time. The deeper the curve in space-time, the more you effectively roll down it towards the other entity. Yes, especially if you're a giant piece of metal hanging onto the roof of a stadium. By the way, you think anybody last night after the roof fell down looked at Jerry and said, "Hey, Jerry, we should tear the damn thing down and build a new one"?
I think more than likely they were looking at the roof going, "Man, I hope I don't die."
Yeah.
I have seen ceiling tile fall from a really large lobby before and almost kill my drummer. So I can imagine watching that thing fall. And good thing other people look like one guy almost bought it. I mean,
oh, there was one guy who was real close.
Yeah, it's like, what are you paying?
It was real close.
You didn't notice everyone looking up and pointing?
Like 30 seconds before that, somebody was like, "Hey, Jimmy!" And he like leaned over to hear what they screamed at him. He'd have been in trouble for sure. Did I let that clip go on way too long just to allow Ryan Clark and Scott Van Pelt to get to their "the roof is falling, the bottom fell out, the roof might as well too, and the sky is falling" jokes? Yes, I did. Yes, I absolutely did.
You know what's really funny? While you were playing that, there's a ESPN posted something about the Simpsons Fun Day, which is going to be a broadcast with the Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
And Homer's running out with the Dallas Cowboys, which I thought was funny.
They announced that, a couple of weeks ago during one of the other games. Because they've been doing these games, these Nickelodeon Cartoon Network kind of games. They've done what they did SpongeBob. They've done Toy Story. They do it with animated projects of every genre and what age, demographic, whatever you want to call it. And they've been doing it effectively to open the door to the next generation of football fans, which I think is great, right? And I've pointed this out before. When I watch football games with my little nephew, he's usually attentive early in the game, right? Like, he's usually attentive early in the game. But then as the game progresses, because he's seven, as the game progresses, he kind of starts to check out and tune out. And usually what ends up happening is, like, by the end of the third quarter, you know, we're playing Tanks and Army Men or whatever. Hey, Uncle Rob, can we go out and kick the soccer ball now? And it's very frustrating for me because I don't want to tell him no. I do, but I don't want to, you know? Like, I want to say, yeah, Lou, we'll go kick the soccer ball. Or, yeah, hand me the, I get to be the tank this time, right? I don't do that. I say, no, I'm watching football. Screw you, kid. Go find something else to do. But, I don't want to do that. But when they put these games on, these games go a long way in holding his attention. In fact, I don't know if you saw it when it happened, Zoe, but during the SpongeBob game, they actually got, I don't know if it was the original voice actor that voiced Patrick Starr in there, but they actually had Patrick Starr doing commentary on the game. Like, calling play-by-play for a little while. They had him on, and Noah Eagle was the play-by-play guy, and he was asking Patrick Starr questions about the game, and Patrick Starr was not just talking about the game, but he was actually explaining the rules to kids,
okay,
right?
So the voice of Patrick Starr is Bill Fagerbake, who is a really large man and was in the show Coach. Did you ever watch the show Coach?
I do remember the show
Coach. The big blonde dude.
Okay.
The dumb guy.
Yeah.
That's him.
Okay. Well, there you go. Learn something new today.
So I think he might be an ex-football player, so that probably helps. At least he had the size.
Well, I don't know if it was him or another guy, because they never, like, and this was the cool thing, was they didn't break the illusion, right? Like, it was Patrick Starr calling play-by-play, and I thought this was a great idea. I thought it's a great idea. It's a great way for, you know, a mom or a dad who's a big football guy and they want to get their kid into football. They want to get their ute into football. But maybe they're young and a 3.5-hour football game is not realistic, right? So it suddenly becomes a little more realistic if the game is being voiced by SpongeBob or Patrick Starr or, Woody and Buzz from Toy Story or whatever. And then they announced the Simpsons game. And I was like, okay, now I don't watch the Simpsons as much anymore. But I watched it a lot when I was growing up, right? When mom and dad would go to bed, I would sneak, because I wasn't allowed to watch the Simpsons when I was a wee lad. But I'd sneak and I'd watch the Simpsons. And the Simpsons is so deeply ingrained in American zeitgeist that it's unavoidable. There is not a one of you out there. You may never have watched a single episode of The Simpsons, but you all know exactly who the hell Bart and Homer are, right? Like, they're unavoidable and have been in American culture for a very long time. So they announced The Simpsons game. And I'm like, okay, honestly, I'll probably tune in for that because I'm curious as to how far they would allow Dave Groening and company to go, or Matt Groening, whatever his name is, to go in terms of The Simpsons, right? Right. Am I going to get Nelson bullying Dak Prescott? Well, no, because he's out for the season. Yeah, but
I mean, well, he could. He could be like kicking his leg on the sideline or
all whatever. Right, let's go to Lisa Salters down on the sideline. Lisa? I just talked to Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, obviously, out for the season. Out for the season. I didn't give you the. I should have given you a cue. There it is. There it is. I should have given you a cue on that.
It's warm in here.
Also, plain black t-shirt? That's boring.
Going to the doctor today.
Ah, got to be an adult after this.
No, that has nothing to do with it. I feel slimmer when there's no decal.
Oh, 10-4. 10-4.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's not going to change when I step on the scale. But, yeah.
I just looked over and I'm like, there's nothing on Lonzo's shirt. It didn't process. My brain stopped for a second. I wonder how far they'll go with the Simpsons jokes, right? Like, that's kind of always been a hallmark of the Simpsons, is the Itchy and Scratchy show, where it's a little off the rails. It's a little adult. It's a little over the top. And these games have largely and massively been for the youths, which is why you got Toy Story and SpongeBob and these other themes. And so I was like, let me go look at this. Because it's the Cowboys and the Bengals, I think, is the team they're playing in the Simpsons game. So I'm like, let me go look. I'm just curious. Like, have they said anything?
It is the Cowboys and the Bengals.
Cowboys and the Bengals. So I'm like, let me go see like what the plan is for this. Are they going to go, it's the Simpsons, but we're going to keep it G. We're going to rate it, you know, PG, PG-13. Like, how are we going to attack this? And I went and looked and I found a write-up on it. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't really learn too much, because what I saw was that they have partnered one team with one primary character who will be that team's representation in this animated version, because they animate the whole game too. To me, that's actually really cool, is that they have AI tracking the players on the field, and then the game that you're watching, they actually animate it so it looks like you're watching a cartoon, right? And I don't know if they're going to have it look like The Simpsons during the... For instance, the Toy Story game, they played the game on a, like, mini painted field in Andy's bedroom from the Toy Story movies, right? So they had all the army men on the outside, and they had Slinko the dog, and all these other characters were kind of off the field, and the players were little animated, like, plastic toy version players of themselves. It was actually really kind of cool to watch. And again, that's something that's going to hold my little 6-7-year-old nephew's attention. He just turned 7. That's why I corrected there. It's going to hold his attention. I thought it was pretty good. So I don't know if they're going to do the same thing, but it'll look like animated Simpsons football players, which I think would be cool. We'll find out. But what I saw before I saw anything else was the initial press release that came out that said the Dallas Cowboys and the Cincinnati Bengals are the two teams that will be featured in this year's, you know, Nickelodeon animated, whatever they're calling it, game. And each team will be accompanied by a character from The Simpsons. And I went, oh. I mean, Bart's obviously one. The Simpsons were successful because of Bart Simpson. Who do they put on the other side? Do they go Krusty the Clown? Sideshow Bob and Bart were nemeses for decades. Do we put Sideshow Bob on the other side? Because they announced that Bart Simpson would be the character that was accompanying the Cincinnati Bengals. Who are they putting as the nemesis across the field from Bart Simpson representing the Cincinnati Bengals? No other than Homer Simpson himself. Now, I do want to say, and I stand on this, Lonzo, Homer Simpson, notably portrayed as a bumbling fool.
When he runs out with the Cowboys, he falls on his face. So, yes.
Notably a bumbling fool. I would like to point out, Homer Simpson has a job in a nuclear power plant. Homer Simpson owns a big-ass two-story house. He does well for his family. All right? So, we need to stop the Homer hate. Homer was a good dad. Homer tried his best and got a hellion of a child in Bart. Homer did his best.
Yeah, I don't think Marge works.
Marge doesn't work.
Yeah, so
in fact, not only
Homer's
does Marge work
for the entire family, yeah.
Marge barely parents. She takes care of what was the baby's name? Yeah, it's Bart, Lisa, and
Maggie.
So like, she takes care of Maggie, but like, you rarely see her. Like, Homer did really well, but Homer's portrayed in the zeitgeist as a bumbling fool. And the minute that they said that the Dallas Cowboys would be partnered up with Homer Simpson, I was like, oh, everybody's dunking on Dallas now. And you did it to yourself, Dallas fans. I told you this last week when we had the roof conversation. Now we have the roof conversation. Last week it was the blinds. Now it's the roof. The house is on fire. I told you last week when we had the blinds conversation, we're going to say it this week when we have the roof conversation. This isn't about the blinds or the roof. This is about the complete and total ineptitude of your entire organizational structure from your owner all the way down. The minute they said you are partnered up with Homer Simpson for the Simpsons game, and you know they're going to play into bumbling idiot Homer. They're not going to have Homer out there like calling a double end around wide reversed. They're not going to have him out there being a football genius, which I think they should. Wouldn't it be fun? Homer Simpson, actual football genius. But they're not. They're going to have him be the bumbling idiot, and they partnered him up with you, Cowboy fans. I want you to know you did it to yourself by being the arrogant, obnoxious, unjustifiably confident fans that you have been for 2.5 decades without winning a damn thing. You brought it on yourself, and I can't wait to watch Homer act like a clown as the representation of your football team.
Missed opportunity, though. You should have put Mr. Burns over
the Dallas Cowboys. Owns the team.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You should have did that and made it Smithers, right? I haven't watched in a while. His underling
Smithers
have him be the coach.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'll be changing my profile pictures, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that right now. It's all pictures of me from the wedding day, right? It's all pictures of me and my wife. There's some obligation to do that for a while. I want to, because that is the most important thing that's happened to me in my life. I want that to be a representation of me. I'm going to tell you right now, if some genius that is in charge of this game, and you're welcome for the free advice, at some point, Zoe, there needs to be a shot of Jerry in his owner's box, and they need to animate Mr. Burns in the seat next to him.
Oh, absolutely. Right? How could you miss that opportunity?
They need to have Jerry and then just Mr. Burns next to him tapping his fingers in front of his little chicken beak that he's got for a nose and doing the Mr. Burns laugh, because I promise you it will be uncanny. All right, we're going to talk more about the absolute hilarious disaster that was the Dallas Cowboys last night, coming up here in just a little while. College football playoff rankings come up later on today. We're going to talk about that. Give you our predictions. We will hand out some TMFINR awards later in the show. All that and more coming up. The Great One Lonzo, me, Rob Brown. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Can we talk about this very briefly? I don't mean to run my man. I hope he sticks around, because Kevin's been with us pretty much since the duration of Zoe and I being on the same show together for, God, what are we at? Like 4 years now? It was like November 4 years ago or something?
I think it was December.
December?
So it's right around the corner.
Rapidly approaching 4 years we've worked on the show together. And Kev's been around the whole time. Our buddy Kevin pops into the Facebook chat. The problem is, Kevin showed up. He said, good morning. Congratulations, Rob. Go Bills. Josh Allen is a super beast. Now, I will acknowledge, and I think it's important to put the ones up, that Josh Allen absolutely tagged the third Josh Allen onto his name. In fact, I made the argument late Sunday night, Josh Allen may have tagged a fourth Josh Allen onto his name in that performance, in a win over the Chiefs.
Except they, Tony Romo, and they just called him Josh.
Well, they're buddies, you know. They're buddies, and they don't have the respect for Josh Allen like we do. But Kev, big Bills guy, and respect. I got to tell you, I've said this a couple times. I got a soft spot in my heart for Bills fans. All right, because I know what it's like to root for a loser the majority of your life. And more importantly, even though I do have a Lombardi, I know what it's like to finally get one.
That's kind of a shot.
I know what it's like to feel like you're right there on the precipice, but just never be able to, like, to get there. Not that we haven't ever gotten there, but more along the lines of, there was a long period of time after the Saints Lombardi where we were right there, including one that got ripped away from us by the most egregious missed pass interference call in the history of the NFL, the history of football as a sport. All right. So I've always said, and on top of that, I think Buffalo fans are the Saints fans of the North. Their parties are outrageous. Their tailgates are monumental. Yeah, there's a couple of bad apples that do real bad stuff, like hanging a Kermit the Frog stuffy, plushy, whatever you call it, before that game. And that's gross, and I don't like it. But I think that's, you know, it's a minority of fans. I think the majority of Buffalo fans, including the ones that I have met over and over, I really like them. I like hanging out with them. There's a couple of Bills bars here in town. Somehow, I don't know, this wasn't intentional, but somehow a couple of my good friends in this region, Buffalo guys, and I enjoy going and watching their games with them. However, Smack Talk 101, Kev. If you only show up in the stream, or if you're out there in real life, if you only talk that stuff after a dub, but you are not present in the bleep talking conversation leading up to the dub, it kind of takes the wind out. It kind of takes the fun out of it, right? Those of you that have been following the show for a very long time, and Lonzo can attest because it just happened a handful of weeks ago. We have Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. Comes on the show every Thursday. We talk football with him. We talk Panther football with him every single Thursday. We had him on a few Thursdays ago, leading up to the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. And Lonzo worked under the assumption, as we have been rivals for a very long time, that I was going to talk a bunch of stuff to Rashad, and Rashad was going to talk a bunch of stuff to me. And what ended up happening was neither one of us talked that well. Rashad talked a little smack, but we didn't really talk a lot of smack.
I had to encourage him.
Yeah, what Rashad did do was brought out by Lonzo. Not natural. Lonzo kind of had to peer pressure Rashad into running his mouth a little bit. But I didn't, because I knew there was a chance we were going to lose that game. And we did. Lost that game. And the next week, Rashad talked general smack, but he didn't put it down on me. But that's because I didn't put it down on him the week before that. Versus years gone by, where I've absolutely run my mouth. And, you know, when you lose, you take it. And when you win, you give it. But if you don't run that crap before the game, don't show up a week after the win and run that smack, right? If you don't talk that smack pregame, don't talk that smack postgame. That's a genuinely accepted rule within the talking game, right?
All right, I'm going to defend Kevin here because he had said a while ago that he's been getting in trouble for posting, so he's probably just jumping in now before he gets to work and he doesn't want the boss to get. I mean, he didn't want the man to come down on him. So I mean,
but I'm saying if you can pop in at 6:05 a.m. on a Monday or a Tuesday after the win, Kev didn't pop in at 6:05 on a Tuesday last week and talk that preemptive bleep before the game.
Also, the game was 2 days ago. It's not like this. This is Tuesday. It's not Monday. It wasn't the Monday night game.
All right.
It was the Sunday afternoon.
That's game. Oh, you know what? You're right. That's fair. That's very fair.
He should have been in here yesterday. But
that's very fair. Maybe we're gonna give Kev. We're gonna give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe we understand because I understand Kev's got a big boy job that he's got to do big boy stuff at, and I'm sure the big boy boss is probably paying attention. So I will give you the pass.
Heavy machinery. So I mean, you know.
Ducky. That made me sad too. Why are we making ourselves sad this morning?
He just retired from wrestling.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know
he
was still wrestling. Where was he? I think on the Independence or something.
Oh, okay. That checks out. I'm gonna give Kev the pass right here. So let me put this out then as a general rule of thumb. Because talking in sports is part of the fun, right? Like I know people who don't like to talk, and I understand it, but for me, it's part of the fun to talk a little bit. It's fun. If you don't talk before the game, don't talk after the game, right? Either you set it up so that when the other person gets you, they can come back at you, or you don't say anything at all. And you don't turn around and gloat afterwards. You go, hey, great game, good win, good win, good for us, good for us, good for win, good for you, good win, whatever. And I would vice versa that. If somebody in your life does not bleep talk leading up to the game and you get that dub, don't bleep talk them after, with one exception. If they are your number one rival, right? If they are your number one rival, that's going to be my one exception. If you're a South Carolina fan and your whatever cousin, friend, best friend, whatever, is a South Carolina or is a Clemson fan, and y'all don't talk about the game, right? And then you win, go ahead and dunk on that. That's a different story. No matter what happens, I'm always going to dunk anytime we get a dub over the Falcons. Like we did this past weekend. Hi, Atlanta, Dirty Birds. How y'all feel? How y'all doing? Sorry, 2 weeks ago. We beat Cleveland this weekend, too. 2-0 under Rizzy, by the way. Coach Riz got that Riz. Anyway, the point here is, Kev, you got to show up pregame to talk that smack if you're going to show up postgame to talk that. I think that's a fair rule. I think that's a fair rule to follow. All right, when we come back here in just a minute from right now, let's talk a little bit about the actual Monday Night Football game. Because I'm going to tell you, and I mean this, that was one of the most hilarious games I've ever... I stayed up to watch the end of that game because it wasn't a particularly great football game. It was objectively hilarious, in my opinion. When your team has fallen to the point that it is objectively funny to watch you play, you're in a bad spot. So we'll talk about that when we come back. We're also going to talk about Joe Burrow's hair, because I got to figure out how he does it. I can't figure out. I tried it. I can't figure out how he gets his hair to look like that. We got that. And Ja'Marr Chase having an absolute meltdown in front of his locker. Coming up in the second half of the show, water cooler cheat sheet, TMFINR awards, and playoff ranking projections. All coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, let's talk some actual football here on the show. Last night was an objectively hilarious game, in my opinion. Like, I can't explain to you that I did not watch last night because I wanted to see a great... I mean, I did want to see a great football game, right? If I'm going to stay up and watch Monday Night Football. And I found myself, to keep it a buck, I found myself the last few weeks, though, I've been going to bed at halftime of Monday and Thursday night footballs, and even Sunday. I was in bed this Sunday at like 8 o'clock. I have found myself the last really 2-3 weeks not feeling as compelled to watch the second half of these games, yeah, and I don't know why.
That's when I usually go to bed, because yeah, halftime is just hits around 9:30 or so, depending on if they have a run game or not, and it's like, maybe I'll stay up a little bit longer and watch the first part of the second half, and sometimes I don't make it.
If it is a uber compelling game, like if it's a great game, I'll keep watching. I'll stay up. I may go lay down in the bed, but I'll turn the bedroom TV on. You know, wife goes to sleep. She can sleep through a damn 747 landing in the bedroom. I don't know how. I wish she has sleep superpowers. She's one of these people, and if this is you, please know I hate you. Genuinely, in the core of my soul, she is one of these people, though, that like head hits pillow and she's out. There's no like falling asleep. It's like a switch. The head hits the pillow, she's gone. It blows. It's infuriating, because for me, head hits pillow and my brain decides it's time to replay every mistake I've made for the past 32 years of my life. Hey, remember that time that girl walked up to you at the bar and said hi, and you said? And then I just relived those memories. And my brain, it's ADHD, diagnosed, but like, it's very frustrating. She, not a problem. Head, pillow, gun, done, pff, asleep. So I can go in there, turn on the TV, and if it's a compelling game, I will. But I have found, and I don't know what to attribute this to. I don't know if it's because there just haven't been a lot of compelling Monday or Thursday night games. I don't know if it's because there's a lot of these games that I'm like, I don't know how much this is going to have to do. I don't know if this is because it's not super important to the playoff race, or if it's because, like, last night one of these teams was a 10-point favorite, and it certainly looked that way. I don't know what it was. But the last handful of Monday and Thursday night games, I've been going to bed at, like, halftime. Last night I stayed up and finished the game. And I stayed up and finished the game because it was objectively hilarious to me. We started the game, with the roof falling off the stadium. Now, I played you that sound earlier in the show, but they did a report. They did a report pre the game with Lisa on the sideline and SVP on the desk. She's like, yeah, I was standing there. I was getting ready to go live on SportsCenter. All of a sudden, stuff started falling around me, and we looked up, and here comes a big old chunk. And it was a big damn chunk of the roof, like a big piece of metal.
I don't know, probably like 8 to 10 feet.
Yeah, it's big. Yeah. It's big. Fortunately, it was long, so it kind of fluttered down. I mean, it was still falling, but fortunately, it kind of fluttered down. It wasn't like a block. Because if it would have come straight down, that guy would have probably been not that guy anymore. If that would have, and still would have, but like it looked like he had time to recognize and kind of hop out of the way. Blah, 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 blah. The roof is falling apart in the stadium. And again, this isn't something that I'm going to like dunk on JJ, because at the end of the day, structural failures happen. You do everything you can to prevent them, but they happen. So I'm not going to dunk on it. But when you put it in the context of everything else going on around the Dallas Cowboys, again, hilarious.
By the way, the stadium opened May 27, 2009, so it's been around a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. I'm from New Orleans. Superdome's been there since like 1975. Stuff happens, whatever. You hope nobody gets hurt. You do your best to prevent it, but it happens. But then the game started. Dallas runs a fake punt on fourth and forever. Fourth and forever. And it's one of those spots. We say this all the time. If it's third and six, don't run a 5-yard route. Run a 7-yard route. Run a route to the sticks, right? Like this is football 101, elementary football. It's third and forever. If you're going to run a fake punt, at least for the love of the football gods, make sure that you're running a play that will work. They didn't. Objectively hilarious failure to me. And just when I thought, well, this can't get worse for Dallas, can it? Yeah, it can. So in case you didn't follow along with that, Cooper Rush, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, gets hit, ball comes out, it's fumbled. It is recovered by a Dallas Cowboy offensive lineman, who then tries to get back to the line of scrimmage, and fumbles the ball recovered by the Texans. They take it back for a scoop and score. This team fumbled twice on the same play and gave up a touchdown in the fourth quarter. For the record, they were only down 10. This game's not out of hand. There was 12 and a half minutes left to play in this game. This game's not over. You are in the game with a threat to win the division, the Houston Texans are. You are in a game with a team that could still very well win that division. Probably will, to keep it a buck, because I think they're turning back upwards. So 12 and a half minutes left to play, fourth quarter. You fumble the ball, you recover the fumble, and then you fumble it again and give it up for a scoop and score. Objectively hilarious. Now, I am also a fan of the Manning cast. I watch on Monday nights. If the Manning cast is on, I prefer the Manning cast. It's not disrespect, because what the Monday night crew does, what Joe and Troy do, phenomenal. But as a football guy, I don't need to be told Joe Mixon's running it off the right-hand side, he's in touchdown. I like to get the perspective of Peyton and Eli, J.J. Watt, Bill Belichick. I like football guys that are talking football a little more football-y. Well, we get to the fourth quarter. The stadium has emptied out at this point. After the double fumble scoop and score for the Texans with 12 and a half left to play when the game was still very much alive, the stadium emptied out because they're 0-5 at home. Why would anyone be there anyway? And JJ was on with the Manning brothers, and this got said. 5 consecutive games where the Dallas Cowboys have been down double figures at the house. 6 if you go back to the playoffs, according to Eli Manning, and I believe he's correct off the top of my head, because I believe they've been down double digits in every single home game that they are 0-5 in this year. And then there was the Green Bay game last year where Jordan Love blew their doors off in their own house. We had this big conversation last week about the blinds being closed, which they were for the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight, right? The discussion, as I told Lonzo last week and I told Cody Decker on Saturday and I've told you guys already, the discussion last week about the blinds wasn't about the blinds. That was the subject. That was the channel that we were taking. But the conversation was always about the complete and total ineptitude of this football team. So why are you talking about them still? Because they're the most valuable franchise on planet Earth. They are the NFL team with the most fans. There is a team in Kansas City, Missouri, who has won back-to-back Super Bowls and have the second shortest odds in the NFL to go get number 3 in a row, something that's never been done before. And yet this Dallas Cowboys team has the most fans in America and the loudest fans in America. There are 2 teams this offseason that got all the conversation, all the love. Every time you turned it onto ESPN or Fox Sports or CBS or Yahoo Sports or any other channel that wasn't effectively this one, you had 2 teams that were being talked about primarily, the New York Jets and the Dallas Cowboys. They both stink. They both stink. It is the response that you are getting now is a natural response to us, and by us, I mean everybody who's not a Dallas fan or a Jets fan. The natural response is that you made us spend the entire offseason listening to the projections, prognostications that these 2 teams were going to the Super Bowl. They were going. And if the Chiefs were going to get knocked off, it was going to be the Cowboys or the Jets that were going to do it this year. Uh-oh, look out. And everybody on the national scale was wrong. Everybody. I wasn't, because I told you, tell me how Dallas got better. Tell me how Dallas got better from last year. They objectively got worse. They lose their star running back. They have 1 wide receiver and 1 tight end. Like, how did they get? They didn't get better. And the Jets, same thing. Objectively, how they get better? Alan Lazard, right? So you spent the whole offseason telling us how, no, you guys, it doesn't matter what you do. Dallas and New York are going. Well, when they fall, you're getting dunked on. You will notice that. We also spent the offseason hearing over and over and over about Lonzo's Kansas City Chiefs and the miraculous play of 1 Patrick Mahomes. Do you notice who's not getting dunked on over and over and over? The Kansas City Chiefs. Why not? Because they're 9-1. Because they're winning. Right? Like, if what was happening with JJ and the boys was resulting in a 9-1 record, we wouldn't be talking about it. But the fact that I had to listen all offseason to, they're back. The boys are back. We them boys with a Z. We're back. Yeah, when things go hilariously wrong, you're going to spend time getting dunked on. And when I'm watching that game last night, I mean it, between the roof falling, maybe the worst fake punt I've ever seen, 2 fumbles and a touchdown on the same play, and guys like Peyton Eli and JJ. JJ on McAfee's a little different, but 3 guys that are notoriously neutral when they're on TV for the most part, just absolutely LeBron tomahawking this team. When it is that objectively fun, well, subjectively funny, but objectively funny, yeah, we're going to talk about it. It's amusing. It's funny, like a clown. I got to watch Goodfellas. Goodfellas was on my HBO suggestion list last night. I got to find time for good. Have you seen Goodfellas?
A really long time ago.
I realized last night, and this is
Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is bad for me to announce.
Ray Liotta, I think.
Ray Liotta was absolutely in it. This is bad of me to admit because I'm a huge Sopranos fan, but I only found The Sopranos like last year.
That's where, so you say I'm a clown.
That's why this yeah. connected for me. Yeah. What am I? Do I amuse you? Am I funny? Do I make you laugh? Am I funny like a clown? I've never seen Goodfellas. Big mobster movie guy. Never seen Goodfellas. I guess I got to make time for that this weekend. Anyway, here's the Tony Soprano of sports flashes, the great one, Lonzo.
Yeah, forget about it.
Hey, Tommy DeVito!
Last night in Monday Night Football, because we can't talk about it enough, the Houston Texans defeated the Dallas Cowboys 34-10. Texans running back Joe Mixon ran for 109 yards and three touchdowns, while C.J. Stroud threw for 257 yards. Dallas is 0-5 at home this year. It means they haven't won anything at Jerry World. Nothing at all. Pittsburgh Pirates ace Paul Skeens was named Major League Baseball's NL Rookie of the Year alongside Yankees Luis Gil. Skeens beat out Jackson Merrill and Jackson Corios, while Gil beat Austin Wells and Colton Crowser, also known as Crowser, for the award. Tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels continue their run in the playoffs against Spartanburg Vikings. It's Burns versus Spartanburg right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. The Fan, Upstate. Did I mention that Dallas lost? 0-5.